Hello, and welcome to what promises to be a frightfully good 127th episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where we dress as sexy versions of our favorite characters year-round. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Nick.
And tonight we've got a multifaceted and appropriately spooky episode coming your way, but before we get to that, I thought we would kick things off in our usual style with our Weekly Geekly, Geek Weekly Update. And let's have Brian lead this one off this week. What are you up to, man?
I did a lot of stuff, and after the fact, I kind of realized that it was all Halloween-related. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I am, because it was completely unintentional.
Do tell!
Well, Saturday was the Halloween Comic Fest. Any of you guys hear about that?
I don't think so.
No, I was not aware.
It's basically free comic book day. In Halloween, or at Halloween. So, a bunch of comic book stores had free comics, and if you showed up, you got one. And if you showed up in costume, you got, like, as many as you wanted. So, it was let the kids trick-or-treat for comics.
That's pretty cool. Any cool costumes on display?
It was a younger crowd, so it was mostly the, you know, the plastic Teenage Ninja Turtles. It was more Halloween than cosplay.
Right.
Something I really loved about it, they were selling packs of comics to hand out on Halloween.
Oh, that's kind of cool, actually. That's a great thing to get in your basket instead of candy, I think.
Little mini comics. They're like half-size normal. And I think you got 10 or 20 for $5.
That's awesome, actually.
And I'll be handing those out these years instead of Snicker Bar.
Nice, man. And were there any smug cosplayers in the corner, like, completely bashing on the kids for using store-bought costumes?
No, not that I saw. I showed up late. I kind of, like, lazied it this time, so I may have just missed them.
That's pretty cool, man.
I also spent not much time, not as much as I would have liked, but I dropped by for the Adventure Game Store's anniversary and Halloween sale.
Ah.
That was very cool. It's all decorated up. I like to see that. And just playing Halloween-themed games, zombies and such.
That sounds like an activity we might be doing soon, Brian.
Yeah. Minus the 27th, I believe, anniversary. It sounds a lot like this Thursday night, where we'll be playing those similar games.
Nice.
And the rest of my week was watching television, which was also Halloween-y themed. There was a Jedi ghost on Star Wars Rebels this week.
Oh.
And the premiere of Constantine, which was technically Friday, but I didn't watch it until later, so this is still in order.
Oh, cool. I have to catch up on some TV, man, and that sounds like good TV to catch up on.
Star Wars Rebels marathon.
Yeah, totally. Was the ghost thing on Star Wars a Halloween... Was it done for the purposes of Halloween, or just happened to be like a blue glowy or something?
You know what? It was not a blue glowy. There was an actual, like, dead Jedi and her ghost. And, again, that being canon kind of bothered me now.
yes.
But no, I don't think it wasn't really a Halloween event or anything like that. It was just a ghost. She was dead and they thought they were alive. So
let me throw a quick round of which one goes at you, Brian. Which one goes, this kind of canon breaking Jedi and her ghost, or something you didn't get to see in Clone Wars, Jar Jar having a girlfriend?
I anything Jar Jar, I suppose.
Yay! Yeah, because he has a girlfriend who's like a queen. It's terrible. Terrible!
Well, Capote the Hutt's canon, so can we complain about Jar Jar anymore?
No, and you know what? Like, it was emphatically stated that all of that Clone Wars garbage was canon, so right. We can't. Oof. Well, anything else for your update, sir?
That's it.
Alright, how about you, Nick?
Well, I finally beat Skyward Sword this past weekend. It's not my favorite ending to Zelda, but it was satisfying nonetheless. I still think one of the most satisfying final fights in Zelda is Twilight Princess so far. And I guess I'm on the docket. I'll probably start Xenoblade next.
Nice.
And this past Sunday, I watched WWE's Hell in a Cell, or Hell in the Cell. I'm not really sure which one it should be.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that'll work. And, you know, I got together with a couple of friends, and we drank a couple brews, ate some snacks, and enjoyed the show. It was pretty good. I wish I could talk to you about it, but I take it you're still playing catch-up with it?
That is correct. I have watched the preceding episodes of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, and I am now primed to watch the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view event.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about it.
For listeners and or co-hosts who question the relevance of wrestling on a geek-based podcast, I will defend it by saying it is live-action comic books.
Agreed.
I think it's great that wrestling has come to the point where you can't miss episodes.
Yes! Thank you, Brian. Yes, I do too, and I never thought I'd be here again.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. It's you miss an episode. There's like there's just so much like main points that you can miss. Like if you step away for like even a month, like that's even worse because a potential storyline could be completely missed. So yeah, I agree with that.
If I could ever get you to watch it for a while, Brian, I would be curious to know what you think of the writing. Because there is actually, like, planning and storyline that goes into this, and unexpected twists and turns. Like, I almost watch for the drama more than the wrestling now.
I love that we can finally admit that. Because when I was a kid, it obviously was scripted and obviously was a story being told. I mean... There was no real Iron Sheik. You know, that guy wasn't like a transplant that wanted to take over the world or anything. It was a character being played. But everyone was so upset that, oh, wrestling's real, wrestling's real. you couldn't even say, like, no, it's a story and it's writing and it is brilliant entertainment. But, and for the record, they're totally athletes. I'm not saying, like, they're fake athletes, but I'm just saying, like, it's scripted. I mean,
yeah, but they are definitely, I mean, no matter how people may call out like the fake punches and kicks, like the way they bump their bodies, and it's a lot more extreme than it was in the past. I mean, like it was more extreme in the 90s, but you know, like just the amount of damage they put their bodies through, it's like almost, I believe it's on par or close to like football players, like on the field, like just constantly hitting.
I'll say this to anybody who doesn't agree with us here about them being athletes and having a pretty decent set of balls to be out there doing what they do. Go into an empty ring, just go off the top turnbuckle and just splash right into the middle of the ring. Just do it. I mean, it's designed to take your impact so you won't get hurt, I promise. I bet you most people don't have the balls to do it.
You know, I'll say this real quick. One for the athlete part. Even if it is scripted, even if every move is predetermined, that's no different from the floor exercise in gymnastics. And everyone watches that with great, you know, it's very impressive to watch the people flip and, you know, all
no
those.
No way, things. Man. Those are totally made up on the spot.
Exactly. So it's still definitely athletic. I don't think anyone would argue that. And if you do, I don't know what, well, actually you're not watching. So I couldn't say I don't know what you're watching because you're not watching. And then the other aspect is this, and this goes back to Brian's point of saying it's finally like nice that about time we can admit that it is all scripted. Wrestling is way ahead of its time because what we have mostly on TV now is reality TV, although that's starting to take a downturn again, which I'm glad about.
Yes.
But reality TV is TV that is written. It is still scripted, but with the illusion of being unscripted. Now, wrestling used to do that. But wrestling is staying ahead of the game because now wrestling is scripted television with the illusion of being unscripted, with the illusion of being really, really unscripted.
Yes, yes.
And what I mean by that is they don't even schedule events anymore. These guys just show up to work and they're like, by the way, now you're fighting so-and-so.
I really kind of like the spontaneous, like, you know, there's a schedule that's supposed to happen, and then the authority comes out. You know, the evil Stephanie McMahon and her husband Triple H come walking out. Okay, now you're going to fight this guy, and not only that, this guy's gonna fight you. And like the whole audience is like, yeah. Like they're all into it.
This is my point. This doesn't happen in any other sport. That's how, like, they know everyone knows it's scripted at this point, and so they've taken it full circle. Like,
right.
You would never watch like a football game and you'd get ready on Sunday night with your friends to watch football and the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins are ready to take the field. And the commissioner comes out and is like, no, 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 Miami Dolphins. Tonight you'll be fighting the New York Yankees.
Right.
Nice.
We're going to put a twist on this. You're also going to take on an NHL team and an MLB team. What do you think of that?
And we're putting the whole arena in a cage.
Right. You're very right about that. Oh, man, Nick, I feel totally validated by our co-host right now. This is great.
Yeah, totally.
So, some amazing wrestling action, beating a game about an elf called Link, and anything else?
That's about it.
So, Eric, over to you, man. Been doing any elf questing of your own?
I've been doing a lot of digging, and I'm going to explain what that means. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, and I really can't get enough of it.
Minecraft?
No, not at all. I wish it was that in-depth. I wish it was that technically advanced. You ever play a game that's so... Well, one, it's one of those games where you don't really even have to play it. It'll play itself. But it's so dumb, but you just keep going back to it over and over again?
Yes.
Okay, well, there was a recent update lately for my Pebble wristwatch. And I haven't worn it in a while, and I decided I'm going to do the update because everything seems to be working really, really well right now. And there's the whole new health kit update. So I decided to put it back on. And going through new apps and watch faces, I found one called Pixel Miner. And basically, this is the entire premise of Pixel Miner, is there's a little miner wearing a little miner's cap, and he's digging by hand across the screen, mining pixels. That's it. By the way, you don't make him move across the screen. He does it on its own. Now, as he collects more pixels, you can use the pixels he collects to buy stuff like other equipment, which actually starts to get really funny. Like right now, I am using the power loader from Aliens to dig through the dirt. But that's literally the whole thing. You don't do anything, and I can't stop staring at my watch to see when I get enough pixels to buy more equipment.
But wow. You don't have to micromanage it like a Tamagotchi, right?
No, not at all. You could like literally come back to it in a week and be like, wow, I can buy everything.
Huh.
Now, this is on the Pebble, the product that basically paved the way for the smartwatches that we're now seeing the big players like Apple and Samsung introduce, right?
It is, and I'll be honest, after seeing the offerings that Google has and Android, has, and now that Apple has, I'm in no rush to update to any of that technology. The one thing I love about the Pebble more than anything else is that because it's an e-paper screen, I charge that thing like once every 2 weeks.
Right.
The idea of having to remember to plug in my watch at the end of every night and hoping my watch makes it through the day just sounds absurd.
I agree, man. I'm not really sold on a super rich multimedia experience on my watch, for lack of a better description. I mean, I kind of want my watch just to work most of the time and to have some integration with my phone, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, and this is actually for us recording this tonight, for those who are going to be listening on later in the week, we're recording this on Tuesday, and if you are as nerdy as we are, you probably by now have heard the huge Marvel Phase 3 announcement.
Yes.
Which we watched literally like an hour ago.
And that is going to be the first leg of our main topic, I think, after our updates conclude. So thank you for that prelude, Eric.
Yeah, that's it for me. I don't want to get too far into it because I'm really excited to talk about some of the announcements.
Well, you won't have to wait long because my update is short and sweet. I took a little mini vacation as I left Seattle, returned to my other hometown of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, by way of Disneyland in Anaheim, California, and the Magic Kingdom and other parks at Disney World in Orlando, Florida. And it was awesome. I basically had a huge Disney, I don't know what to describe it, escape for about a week. I got to really compare and contrast the parks because I left one and went straight to the other. And I have to say, in a which one goes contest, I would have to kill myself because even though I'm loyal to Orlando, I really like Disneyland and I can see why people like it. And it's different enough that I think you should experience both in your lifetime if you can. So I will leave it at that. This is not a Disney podcast, as much as I try to make it one. against the will of everyone else, I'm sure.
Hey, look, if it makes you feel better, I didn't bring up 3D printing at all yet.
That's true.
Keyword yet.
Well, look until for, right now.
Look for our series of indie spinoff podcasts for all of our unique niche interests coming up.
Is Tokyo Disneyland on your bucket list?
Okay, Nick, you open the door. So I just got to talk about this for a second. I spoke to a guy when I was at Disney World who was from China. And they have one in Tokyo, which is in Japan, of course. They have one in Hong Kong, which is part of China, but still kind of semi-autonomous. And they're building a new one in Shanghai. And this Chinese guy was all excited about that.
Oof.
So I think in theory, I could start in Florida at Disney World, then fly to California to go to Disneyland, then fly to Tokyo to go to the Disney in Tokyo, then go to Hong Kong, then go to Shanghai, then go to France, and then return to Florida. I think I could do a worldwide Disney trip.
That sounds like a good deal.
It sounds like an obscene waste of money, but I mean, left to my own devices, I would probably do it. I think it would be cool. Anyway, to get off the Disney topic, some surprising good news when I got back. My Relic Knights pledge for that Kickstarter finally came in, and that is a tabletop miniatures game in, I guess, very chibi style. Is that a correct way to describe it, Brian?
It's definitely anime style. I think only one or two of the factions have any chibi in them. Anime altogether, for sure.
Okay, I should have said anime more broadly. Thank you for the correction. Anyway, I am super, like, happy, and the look on my face is super, like, cute and kawaii because I'm so just absolutely overjoyed that my stuff arrived.
We should really do the math on that. It was at least 6 months late for you. I mean, it was late for everybody, all of the backers, but God, you got screwed. And I as someone who I think initially showed you the campaign, I feel terrible for that.
Yeah, I'm just glad. I was starting to lose faith in crowdfunding, so I'm really glad this stuff showed up. My faith is restored, sort of. Anyway, a positive end to that story, and a positive end to my update, just in time for us to get into plank one of tonight's topic. And Eric, you seemed eager to talk about it, so why don't we let you launch into the discussion of frightfully good news coming out of the Marvel camp that surely has the DC execs spooked.
You know, it's funny you put it that way, because I'm going to jump to a weird point that has nothing to do with this list that I found incredibly amusing. The last major reveal that DC did was, of course, their Batman-Superman crossover film. And if you recall, there was some leaked footage of that trailer from a really awful angle and really piss-poor sound quality. Now, all of the Phase 3 Marvel announcement was leaked within minutes of it actually happening. And someone made the comment that even Marvel's leaks look better than DC's announcements.
Oh, ouch.
So I thought that was amusing. But let's get right into the meat of it. So here is the announced movie list starting in 2016. So Phase 3 for Marvel movies. I want to kind of reveal it the same way they did. So they started off with Captain America 3, which they titled Serpent Society. So I think we all expected another Captain America movie. That's for May 6, 2016. Pretty good. They followed that up with Doctor Strange, which was no surprise because only a day prior they announced who was going to be playing Doctor Strange, which I'm really happy about. If you have not seen that announcement, it is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Also playing Alan Turing, a personal hero of mine, as anybody who knows me knows.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that as well. So awesome casting there. Very happy. Followed that up with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 5th, 2017. I don't think that surprised anyone. Then followed by Thor, which is July 28th, 2017. That is Thor Ragnarok, which they said for the record in the announcement that that movie was going to be the cornerstone for everything that follows.
Whoa. Well, Ragnarok being a pretty pivotal event, that kind of makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think anyone was surprised at that announcement, but the fact that they're really adhering to the fact that this Thor movie is going to be basically the kicker for everything that follows is pretty good. And speaking of which, or things that follow, they're really hitting a lot of new stuff. Because that gets followed up the same year with Black Panther. Then they skipped the first launch for the next year. We'll go back to it. They followed that up with Captain Marvel, which could get confusing, so they were really specific on this one. First of all, we know it's not the DC Captain Marvel. I do love that feud, though, and I don't know if we'll get into that. But they were very specific that it was the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel. So we're getting a female Captain Marvel, which is awesome.
She says Shazam instead of Shazam, right?
Oh, boy. So there's that, followed by, and I'll admit, I don't know a lot about this title, but I have friends who genuinely love it, specifically Dave, you know, Dave Silber. So
yes,
he absolutely loves this title, and I think this is probably the announcement he was most excited for, which was Inhumans.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, I have not read any of it, so I'm really not that familiar.
Same here. I'm because I know that it exists and I've heard of it, but interesting to me.
And then they backtracked to that announcement we missed, which was May 4th, 2018, which is Avengers Infinity War. And they showed a brief little, I guess it's a teaser. You know when they show a teaser and it's not really even a teaser? It's one of those like teasers to a teaser?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like one bit of footage you know isn't even in the movie.
For sure.
So it started off leading in with a bunch of clips from the older movies about how everything was leading to this moment. And, you know, it was all those lines of dialogue taken out of context about that about to happen. Starting off with, like, the, you know, we're putting a team together, and from there on. But it does culminate with one tiny bit of new footage, which was a close-up of what looked like just gold, and then slowly backing up and around to reveal the gauntlet, to reveal Thanos wearing the gauntlet and grinning like a bitch like he does. And it was awesome looking, and the crowd went freaking bananas, and then that was that. They did point out that it would be a two-parter, so you're going to get it summer 2018, and then again summer 2019. So part one and two. And then they backtracked all the way to the first announcement, which was Captain America 3, which they announced as Serpent Society, and then changed the title to Civil War.
Get out of town! No!
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't... See, I didn't scrutinize the list when you sent it because I wanted to be kind of surprised. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, if you watched the video or the footage of it, they definitely called it Certain Society. Apparently, that was the name of it, like, in some lists that were released prior. And I guess that was kind of their Blue Harvest code name until they finally decided to launch the name there at the end of the announcement.
Man. So that... Guys, to me, sounds like a pretty strong Marvel lineup. I now cannot actually die until like 2018. They're keeping me alive.
19.
Sorry, 2019.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was planning on checking out maybe the end of this year. So, you know, I've got quite a few years of life ahead of me, which means the Nerdstravaganza podcast will go on. Thanks, Marvel.
And I'm really happy with Marvel because this is the same feeling I had right before Star Wars Episode 1, which was like, well, once I see Episode 1, I can't die until I've seen all three of these films.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
After I saw Episode 1, I was like, I could probably die right now.
But you would have missed this decade of hopefully a resurgent Star Wars, as well as an amazing array of comic movies.
Yeah, I mean, this list is fantastic. There's absolutely no single element of it that I have any issue with. If I take one issue away from this list, it's more the surprises in what's not on it than what's on it.
Well, no X-Men can be on it because, of course, that property is jealously guarded by the, I guess, rights holder?
Yeah, but no Iron Man movie.
No oh, yeah, Hulk, yeah, yeah.
No Hulk movie. And I thought they had, like, a placeholder for a Hulk movie in place, so I don't know if that's going to overlap or if they're just that's just not part of this list anymore.
I guess they're just, like, going to be in the Avengers movies going forward.
I guess so. You know, there was a lot of speculation that there would be a Black Widow movie. No Black Widow movie.
Hmm. Brian, Nick, what do you think? You think DC execs are right to be quaking in their boots at this horrific lineup from Marvel?
It's already kind of a... It's a not even a strong, like, fight for them. They're going to be rushing out, like, a lot of the movies that they have planned, you know, as far as, like, Batman, Superman, then they run... Sure, they're going to rush out that Justice League. But it's not even like competition, you know what I mean? Like, Marvel's really killing it right now. As far as how these movies are going to turn out, that's kind of up in the air. But I mean, so far it's always been like, you know, decent to like excellent, like in that rating. I haven't really seen a Marvel movie recently that has made me say like, wow, that was pretty terrible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, they've been pretty consistently good. Even the not good ones have been entertaining and pretty decent, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I didn't think the first Thor movie was spectacular, but you know what? It's still good.
Yeah.
Right. What about you, Brian? What do you think?
I guess I'm the lone dissenter. There's nothing wrong with them. I enjoy them, but I find it really hard to get, like, super excited about them.
You're just not, like, a big comics movie guy, or that they just haven't really done it for you at the box office, or what?
I don't know. There's something, like, Avengers was a great movie. I loved it. The first Thor, I actually really liked. I saw The Dark World or whatever. They kind of lost me with that one. That was a little weird. I love all the Ironmans. They're really great. But as far as, like, being excited about something that I'll see in 4 years, like, I don't know. It's almost too much. Like, I don't want to know this whole huge plan. Just get one out. Let me be excited about it. Let me salivate for the next one. I don't know. The whole Marvel movie, what's it called? Marvel Cinema Universe?
That sounds plausible to me, yeah. Eric, can you confirm that that's maybe what it's called?
I honestly can't remember. I don't remember them using any particular name for the overall. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we can stick with that for now. I think people would understand what we were talking about.
It's either Marvel Cinema or Marvel Movie, because I there's abbreviations. People call it the MU for the comics and the MMU or the MCU for the movies.
Okay. Actually, yeah, this article says MCU, so I'm going to say you're right.
There you go. God, I don't know. It's a long time to... So I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm less excited. I'm...
And then you'll eventually just forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was really hyped in... I'm trying to do the math. February, March? For Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it really, like... I've never even seen it. I never got out to, you know, watch it.
So you think that they end up burning you out in terms of your excitement before the movie even comes out with these big announcements?
Me, at least, absolutely.
Yeah. I will say I can see your point. Like, there's something for too much of a reveal too soon. That's kind of why I think with the Star Wars stuff, I'm avoiding looking at a lot of stuff. Like, I want to keep the excitement level and not be oversaturated. And I could kind of see where you're coming from with this, Brian.
And isn't it possible that plans can change? Are they pretty set in stone with this?
They're not only set in stone, they've laid down really solid dates.
Mm.
So I know what I'm going to be doing on certain dates for the next, like, 10 years, basically.
Right, so much so that they had, like, a July 2017 date for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And, wow, like, made the announcement very clearly that the official date would be pushed up to May 5th, 2017.
Now, speaking of change... No Ant-Man, right? Wasn't Ant-Man supposed to be a movie, or is he just going to be in something?
Ant-Man is still a movie. This Phase 3 starts in 2016, so anything that was slated for 2014 or 2015 is still happening as part of Phase 2.
Oh, okay, okay. So he didn't make the cut for Phase 3.
He's in Phase 2, so
I gotcha.
Date-wise. Right. The one thing I'll say about this is I feel vindicated, because when Guardians of the Galaxy was about to launch, and even when it did launch, I have friends, first of all, 99.9% of my friends loved it. I actually have one friend who was a total dissenter. He does not love it, nor did he ever love the original comic. And he was the one who initially said, why are they even bothering to do this? It's ridiculous. There's a raccoon and a tree. Nobody wants to see that on screen. And I guess he still felt that way even after the movie. But the point is, my logic behind why Guardians of the Galaxy was even put out there when it was, because it's not really a major part of the story, aside from the fact that they're arcing this towards, you know, Infinity War, and there's, you know, the whole, you know, the stone involved and whatnot. My logic was that Marvel was finally saying, you know, we've put out a lot of stuff, and at this point people are just eating it up. If we can get away with this, where our movie has a raccoon and a tree as main characters, we can pretty much do whatever the hell we want. And I absolutely feel, now that I look at the lineup, that that was absolutely the logic.
You mean what they want and succeed? Like, there's anything we put out there is going to succeed?
Well, this was to test the waters. If they could put a movie out there that had a raccoon and a tree as two main characters, and audiences ate it up, which they did, what's to stop them from going in any direction that a comic book movie would go? Because there's always been, prior to that, this idea that we have to at least somewhat base our comic book movies in reality. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I know Tom hates memes, but there is that meme out there about DC versus Marvel and how DC didn't think the audiences were ready for a Wonder Woman story. And Marvel was like, fuck you, raccoons!
Right, you know what, and Brian, that's a perfect segue back over to DC, for whom this is probably a particularly scary Halloween as Marvel unfurls these plans for all to see. Do you think maybe they're going back to the drawing board and saying, guys, you know, we don't have to have a gritty, realistic Batman! Like, we can actually get kind of zany and cosmic and supernatural, and the audiences will like it.
I think they're giving up on movies. I think they're happy with television series.
Nick, what do you think of that? I know we've discussed in the past how it's almost like, I don't want to say DC is ceding the movie theater to Marvel and is just concentrating on TV, but I think Brian might be onto something. What do you think?
I don't really have anything else to say on that, on the DC, that is.
Well, they've got Arrow that's really popular. They've got Flash. They've got the new Gotham series, which I'm not really wild about knowing what Joker was doing in high school, but whatever.
Oh, well, as far as going back to like DC focusing on TV shows.
Looks like we lost Eric, guys, so we're going to proceed with the episode. Unfortunately, the ghost of Internet Connections Past is haunting him, I guess, or something. So he's been, some specter has dialed him back to 56K, and he's having a hard time staying connected to our Skype call. So we will carry it forward. I'm sorry, Nick, you were making a point.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're kind of making it over in TV, but it's not, you know, obviously the same as the movies. You know, as far, like, should we expect them to, like, make some reveals like the way Marvel has in the near future?
I think so. I mean, I think they've got to answer this. Like, I'm sure that in a certain way they're happy about their TV successes, but DC has a pretty good stable of comics, interesting villains, interesting characters. What's keeping them from taking a swing back? What do you think, Brian?
Well, before I tell you what I think about that, I would like to point out, especially just because I just saw it, DC has Constantine.
Oh, is that them as well?
That is a DC property.
Okay, yes. Which you mentioned in your roundup as being awesome. So they are really killing it on TV.
They're really branching out. I mean, you might rethink, what is it, 5 television series every single week versus 1 blockbuster movie a year?
Yeah, I gotta wonder from a financial standpoint, what's better, the advertising revenue rolling in from that, or the, you know, big, like, up and down of putting out a hit movie?
If, I think Flash is the next big thing, and I think Arrow was their last big thing. If all of these hit their stride like that, they're really big.
I think you're onto something. So we may just see the two big comics houses fighting on whatever front on which they're stronger, right? I mean, is that what we're looking at, maybe?
I almost hope so, because I'd rather see even Gotham, because I'm not terribly interested in Gotham, but I'd rather see them do a mediocre television series that I don't get than another cheesy movie where he just works out his broken back. Like, walk it off, walk it off!
You're talking about the Batman one where Bane breaks his back?
They went to shit, dude.
Yeah, and then we could definitely bring up things like Green Lantern and other recent disasters. Which brings me to the sort of frightening part of this episode. I think we were going to start off talking about just sort of some favorite characters, and feel free to inject those if you want, but this kind of gives me another idea, and what do you guys think? One thing that's easy to take for granted is that we're in kind of a pretty good era for comic book movies. Brian, I know you're not super jazzed, but I think you'll admit, today's comic book movies are a lot better than those of the past.
Oh, don't take my lack of enthusiasm for something that coming out in 2019 as lack of enthusiasm. I like the movies, and I'm actually really surprised I never saw Guardians of the Galaxy, because I usually catch them all.
Pokemon?
Yes, I didn't miss the Pokemon reference there either, Nick. It's pretty good. Nick and I went and saw it, and I've seen that movie a couple times. I know Eric has too. You should check it out, Brian. But I thought we would talk about some of those awful, horrifying comic book movies from the past. Maybe with each of us recalling some real stinker that we saw years ago. By way of sort of taking the edge off all of the fear and anticipation about the upcoming movies and TV shows from Marvel and DC. So, since I offered the invitation while speaking to you, Brian, I will let you go first. Can you think of a really awful ghost of comic book movies past that you would never want to see again?
I would have to say Green Lantern, I guess.
Oof. That's a recent past, too.
just the whole... Let's take this guy who is known for his quick thinking and his creativeness and problem solving, and we'll just turn everything into a big fucking gun. doesn't he actually like sorcel up a green minigun at one point?
I'm pretty sure he does. And
real original.
I mean, depending on what movie or comic or cartoon you happen to be watching, I mean animated movie, when I say that, some of his lantern manifestations get kind of zany, but yeah, I found that to be kind of cheesy too, actually.
I'd rather go with zany than, well, I've got the bigger gun. Real superhero-y.
That's a fair point. So Green Lantern, that would be, let's call that Generation 2 of DC or something, or maybe Generation 3. They haven't really laid it out that way, but all right. Good submission. Nick, what about you?
All right, so as a kid, like growing up watching these Batman movies that came out, I thought they were fantastic, every one of them. But in retrospect, good lord, Batman and Robin. Like, ugh. I mean, come on, rubber nipples, enough said.
Okay, I always get these confused. Batman and Robin was the Riddler Two-Face one or the...
Arnold, Mr. Freeze.
Oh, and okay.
Poison Ivy. Oh, man.
Guys, I have to admit a weird sort of affection for that movie. I know that's probably the scariest thing on this sort of Halloween episode we're having that you've ever thought would come out of my mouth, but I really dug how colorful that movie was, as stupid as that sounds.
Oh, I could see that. I just couldn't stand George Clooney as Batman. It was just so bad. But everybody, like, some of the other characters, I had, like, a guilty pleasure with, especially Arnold as Mr. Freeze. It was just so ridiculous,
cheesy,
but I loved every minute of it. Yeah.
Chill. Be cool. Have some ice cream. Like, it's pretty bad.
Yes.
Gelato. Oh, God. I will just point out that of the four original Batman movies, as I consider them, the third one, which was with Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face and a really obnoxious Jim Carrey as Riddler, was the absolute worst. Like, if I had to be trapped in an abandoned warehouse, you know, with one of those two movies stalking me, I'd rather have the fourth one stalk me than the third one.
Agreed.
Okay, I will dig up a stinker of a movie. I kind of did when I mentioned that third one. But I will pull... this one will really raise the fur up on the back of your neck when I mention it. Catwoman. The Halle Berry disaster that was Catwoman. I don't even know where to begin. She didn't do a good job. And Halle Berry is a good actress, so I don't understand if the script was bad or she didn't really know what Catwoman was. She was terrible in it. There was like this terrible CG scenes that were kind of mixed in that looked awful. It was a combination of cliches, bad acting, and her just not really jibing with the part for some reason.
I think that was a victim of, hey, we need a big name. And she had no passion for the project, and she had no... I mean, you don't have to be a diehard comic book fan to play the part well, but I think she just didn't care about it.
Right. You're going to give me how much money to play a cat? Okay, you got it. compare that to what's her name from the second Batman movie. What was her name? Michelle Pfeiffer, was it? Or
yes.
she really ate that part up, man. I mean, I thought she was really good as Catwoman. Say what you want about that movie. I thought she did a great job.
Without a doubt.
And in case anybody thinks I'm bashing on Halle Berry, believe it or not, she has actually grown on me as Storm. And I initially thought she was too, like, small and sprightly to play Storm. But over time, I've grown to kind of like her in that
She's
role.
Better than Toad.
Really? Isn't it Gollum that plays Toad?
It's Darth Maul.
Oh, is it Darth Maul that plays Toad? Really?
Wow.
Ray Park, right? That's his name?
Yeah, Park or Parks.
Parks, Spark, whatever. Huh. Toad with his tongue. You know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning?
It dies.
Right. I think we might be able to agree on one final one. Man, when they came out... No, maybe two. Let's see if we can get some consensus on two categories. The original run of X-Men movies and the original run of Spider-Man movies. I thought that those had stinkers in their midst, even though they kind of delivered here and there. Do you guys kind of agree?
Yeah, but give me X-Men over Spider-Man. Holy hell, that Spider-Man 3.
So based on 3.
Rage-inducing. And the two threes weren't that great either. Like, between the rushed Phoenix, I guess you would say Phoenix Saga, like, storyline, and then, like, the emo Spider-Man, or emo Peter Parker, son of a bitch.
So, okay, I need a vote from you guys. You are trapped in a cabin in the woods with either of those movies. You gotta pick one. So, Nick, go first.
X-Men 3, without a doubt.
You're trapped with questions. X-Men 3 and the anti-mutant syringe guns, right?
Yes.
Okay. Brian, what about you?
Yeah, I would take X-Men over Spider-Man. That Spider-Man 3 was really an affront.
It was pretty awful. And emo Peter Parker, he was also doing like a scat dance in that film or something too, right?
Yes.
He was disco dancing. Remember the cheesy music?
Oh, God, yes.
And don't forget, that was the one with the Green Goblin in the Mountain Dew pose, wasn't it? They paused the movie. Extreme skateboarding!
Oh, God, that was terrible.
I want to say the best part of that movie was probably, like, the last, like, few minutes of it. Like, the glimmer of, like, Venom. But other than that, like, there was just so many... There were so many more cons to that movie than pros.
When they decide to basically just reboot a franchise with a worse actor after a movie, you know you've screwed up.
The thing that drove me nuts about it, do you know how strong Spider-Man is?
He's like superhuman strong, right?
He would have killed Mary Jane.
Right, right.
I mean, that would have just smashed her skull.
Yeah, I don't... That's kind of one of those weird things with comic book heroes, though, and they're like insane amounts of strength. It seems like they can just dial it back at will, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so I kind of agree with you. The third X-Men movie was not super strong, but I at least cared about what happened at the end and wanted Phoenix to be like a thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the Phoenix Force, whatever it is that Jean Grey becomes. Sue me, I am not a total lore master when it comes to the X-Men universe. And that series definitely redeemed itself with First Class and Days of Future Past. Like, those were solid movies.
I still need to see Days of Future Past. That's out on DVD, right? Or Blu-ray, rather?
I believe so, yeah. It's probably out on both formats, and you should. Brian, have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one, nope.
Oh, we need to do a viewing party. That movie's really good. Like, you will go from thinking, eh, the X-Men series, okay, to like, wow, this is really good. I want to see more. And it has kind of renewed my hope that even outside of Disney/Marvel's hands, there's a bright future for X-Men. Maybe. We'll see. But we're not here to talk about bright futures, this being kind of a Halloween episode. I've got one more stinker piece of crap comic movie for you. Here it comes. And I don't even know which one it is. I think it's 5. Superman with the feathered-haired nuclear guy. And please tell me you've just never seen it.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yes.
Me neither.
Excellent. Oh, that's all I wanted to hear.
That might have been a good thing.
It was absolutely terrible. Basically, if I recall correctly, Superman goes around the world with a big net collecting all the nukes. I'm not kidding you, in like a giant like cast net, as if you were fishing. Like all the countries, like here's my super, here are our nukes, Superman. We give up because now he's gonna protect the world. There's no need for nukes, right? Mm-hmm. And he like hurls them into the sun, but little does he know the villain, who may have been Lex Luthor, I don't even remember, has put this little like embryo of some evil being in the nuclear package. So when it explodes near the sun, this cheesy 80s nuclear villain is born, and he has like nuclear powers and he could beat up Superman and all this nonsense. And then a terrible movie ensues. And that's, I shudder to this day to think of that.
As far as I'm concerned, there's Superman 1 and Superman with Zod.
Yes, yes, yes. And you don't mean the new Superman with Zod. You mean the only Superman with Zod, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I think we've done a pretty good job of talking up again. And I just have to feel like I have to throw these adjectives in because this is kind of our Halloween episode. Some frightfully good programming coming our way from Marvel. And I don't know, maybe some terrific stuff coming from DC as well, at least on TV, right?
I have a lot of faith. I think they'll do well.
Cool. Any specters of things to come that scare you guys? Can you see things going kind of wonky with any shows or movies? Let's end this episode with a look forward into a potentially spooky future. I'll go first and say I haven't watched Gotham, but I really don't want like lore breaking stuff happening when a bunch of teenagers or kids are running around Gotham City.
I really hope Marvel pulls in the political correctedness.
Oh, go on.
Female Thor, who is it? Black Captain America, Muslim Miss Marvel. It feels like marketing to me. There's nothing wrong with any one of those things, but for all of them to happen in the same month, it feels like screw the story, screw the character, we're meeting quotas.
Oh, so you think they're kind of just doing like token representation for people of color and women and that kind of thing?
That's what I'm afraid of. That's my like Halloween nightmare.
I kind of concur, and it's not because I don't want to see more equal representation and more diversity in entertainment. It's just that like you basically have to like throw a bone to women, like here, now a girl can be Thor. Like you can't create a new character. You know what I mean? It seems like they're taking kind of the cheesy way out.
Right. They're not trying at all. They're just meeting their quotas.
Right. What do you think of that, Nick?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much on the button. It's just there was no need for them to do that. I mean, if you want them to be in that universe, like you said, create a new character, but don't completely like just change the formula.
Yeah, I'm glad we're all in agreement with that. And speaking of you, Nick, you get to take us out with the final one. Any horrifying predictions for the future of geeky entertainment?
Just the fact that they've... I mean, yeah, we said we were excited for these movies, but I mean, the bar can only be raised so high. Like, eventually these movies will have the potential to disappoint. And I just don't... It would suck, but, you know, it's... You know, how far can you take it?
You're correct. I think we could potentially be setting ourselves up for disappointment, especially with these audacious roadmaps being put out there, as Brian sort of alluded to. So I hope you're wrong. I hope we're all wrong. I hope this is a bright entertainment future on the horizon. Again, I am only kept alive by the promise of good entertainment. As soon as the entertainment well runs dry, so too will my will to live.
Because so, screw health, right?
Right. Like, I mean, I go to the gym, I walk, I try to watch what I eat, only so I can be entertained. The minute they stop trying is the minute I stop trying, and then I just die. It's like pizza rolls and goldfish crackers for like the rest of my days, and it's all over and it ends badly. All right, guys, this was a fun episode. I think we kind of got a Halloween-y vibe across. If not, trick or treat, smell my feet, Halloween, boo. I don't know, should we make like sound effects? What other scary spin can we put on this? Brian, what do you think? Have we sufficiently scared our audience?
I almost think we should warn people and then do it anyway because they won't believe us. You know those screamer videos that went around?
No.
Where it was like, if you look really closely, you can see, and then something like horrific would pop up and like, bah!
Yes.
We're going to do that at the end of the episode, so just listen.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you stay tuned at the end of the episode. We've got a special surprise waiting for you. Just listen closely. It's been something we've been playing the whole episode that you may not have heard, but once there's some silence, you might.
And turn up the volume very loud.
Yeah. Especially around somebody who's really easily excited and or a cardiac patient. Oh, but before we commence with our frightening of the audience, I think we should invite them back, should they survive this spooky Halloween season, to listen to our episode by either subscribing in iTunes or whatever podcatching software they happen to use, or by checking us out on an excellent streaming service we like to call Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google Plus, and join the Nerdtravaganza HQ Facebook group.
And if you still don't get enough of that, go ahead and check out nerdstravaganza.com. And if you have any questions and comments, email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Or we will haunt you.
Ooh. Yes.
Probably doing a maniacal laugh when we're out here.